Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the BCL Industries Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priya Sen from Go India Advisors. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Manav. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to BCL Industries Limited earnings conference call to discuss the Q1 FY26 results. We have on the call Mr. Kushal Mittal, Joint Managing Director. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must therefore be viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company may face. May I now request Mr. Kushal Mittal to take us through the company's business outlook and performance, subsequent to which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Priya. Good day, everyone. And thank you for joining BCL Industries Limited's Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. I trust you've had the opportunity to review our financial results and investor presentation, now available on the stock exchanges. At the outset, I would like to clarify that all financial results reported are on a consolidated basis, which includes the performance of our Swachha distillery, where BCL holds a 75% stake. Let me begin by first providing a strategic update on the company's ongoing transformation and growth journey. As part of our long-term vision to focus on higher margin and scalable business, we have made significant progress in the phased exit from our edible oil operations. During Q2, we successfully shut down the oil mill, solvent, rice mill, vanaspati, and packaged oil segments, all in line with our planned restructuring. A portion of our soft oil refining activities is being consolidated and shifted to our Sangit facility, which will cater to the institutional clients. And it will continue to operate alongside the biodiesel plant, which is currently in its trial phase and expected to be fully commissioned in early Q2 FY26. We are also focusing on orderly liquidation of remaining edible oil stocks, with this process expected to complete by Q3 FY26. This exit from the low-margin edible oil business is enabling us to redeploy capital and management focus more efficiently towards higher growth opportunities in the distillery business. In parallel, we are advancing steadily in our core distillery business. We are proud to be one of India's largest grain-based ethanol producers, currently operating with an installed capacity of 700 KLPD. Strengthening this leadership, our 150 KLPD expansion in Bathinda is progressing well and on track for commissioning by year-end. Additionally, our wholly owned subsidiary, Goel Distillery Private Limited, has all regulatory clearances in place for setting up a 250 KLPD ethanol plant. Together, these projects will increase our total ethanol capacity, our total distillation capacity to approximately 1100 KLPD over the next 2-3 years, providing a strong platform for sustained growth. Our CapEx pipeline remains robust and on schedule. Beyond the distillery expansions, we are making steady progress on our paddy straw-based boiler, biodiesel plant, and maize oil extraction units, all set to be commissioned by mid-FY26. The maize oil extraction facility was successfully commissioned in Q1, while work on a similar unit in Swachha is progressing and is expected to be operational by Q3 FY26. Additionally, the 75 KLPD plant is under trial and is expected to be commissioned in Q2 FY26, further diversifying the product portfolio and reinforcing value chain integration. The company continues to pursue strategic diversification of its revenue base, strengthening the product mix and enhancing sourcing flexibility and competitiveness in evolving market. On the raw material front, the distillery sector experienced encouraging developments with the resumption of FCI rice procurement at rupees 22.5 per kg, This has brought a much-needed clarity and stability in the feedstock availability. BCL operates its units with the capability to process both rice and maize, optimizing operations to maintain efficiency and flexibility in raw material utilization. Demand for both ENA and ethanol remains strong, supported by our offtake agreement and a strong consumer base in the ENA sector. The positive momentum comes against the backdrop of India's remarkable growth in ethanol sector. The country's annual ethanol production is now reached 1,800 crores, and notably, 42% of the ethanol now is being supplied from maize. This reflects the government's strategic push for feedstock diversification to achieve the E20 blending, enhancing energy security, reducing carbon emissions, and providing greater support to the farmers, thereby creating income and employment opportunities in the agriculture and biofuel sector. These favorable tailwinds are setting the stage for BCL's next phase of growth. With its expanding capacity and focus on efficiency, the company is well placed to grow revenue and improve margins. By staying disciplined on cost and execution, BCL aims to strengthen its market position and rise steady for long-term growth. Let me now move on to the financial and operational highlights for quarter ended June 2025. BCL delivered a total revenue of 823 crores for Q1 FY26, a robust 25% increase year-on-year. The distillery segment, which was the main growth driver, were ethanol volumes rising 11% to 55,461 KL and ENA volume rising to 7960 KL. Up by 37% from the corresponding quarter of last financial year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 56 crores, with the distillery segment contributing to 53 crores, reflecting a steady margin trends and operational discipline. Consolidated PAT reached to rupees 33 crores, up by 32%. Our IMIL segment also performed strongly, with approximately 4.36 lakh cases sold in the first quarter, supported by a sustained demand and robust market share. Looking ahead, we remain confident about sustaining this growth trajectory in FY26. Our strategy to diversify the portfolio, improve raw material sourcing and optimizing costs will support both the top line expansion and margin improvement. As we evolve, our focus remains firmly on leveraging our grain procurement and processing expertise to create sustainable margins and long-term shareholder value. With that, I now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, Kushalji. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Fine, sir. My first question is, after exiting the edible oil, how will the revenues from ethanol, biodiesel and maize oil extraction evolve over the next 2 to 3 years?
With an addition of 150 KLPD of ethanol, it should give us anywhere from 400 to 450 crores of revenue on a yearly basis, whereas the oil extraction and the biodiesel sector in Bathinda should give us around 250 odd crores in revenue. And this will further increase with the expansion coming in at Kharagpur, where we're first installing only the maize oil extraction unit. And then the 250 KLPD ethanol plant at Goel Distillery will follow afterwards.
Okay. And what synergies are expected from combining soft oil refining at Sangat with the biodiesel unit?
We didn't have to install very many more additional machineries in installing a soft oil refining unit at our Sangat unit. And over there, since all the power and power plant is in-house, the production cost will be significantly lower. And we had seen in the past, I'd say especially 6 months, that the biodiesel policy from the Government of India was not very favorable. There were certain changes that were made in an instant. So keeping that in mind and ensuring that regardless of the biodiesel policy, our unit stays running. And we had a good consumer base for our soft oil refining business also. There's good institutional demand. So we decided to keep that portfolio of the business going. Processing cost, overhead cost, manpower cost over there are significantly lower. So to ensure that the revenue streams continue, we decided that we should, continue with the soft oil refining business.
Okay. And how is BCL managing the transitional risk, especially from the cash flows and working capital due to edible oil stock liquidation?
See, we for the cash flows, we've already surrendered our working capital with the bank, and we're liquidating the stock on a monthly basis, and we're trying to, do it as soon as possible. Then it is taking a longer time than we thought it would, since we had about 100 crores of stocks on the books with us. So we're hoping to do that in the coming quarters.
So by next quarter, most of the stock will be liquidated?
Yes, we're trying.
Okay. And with edible oil stock liquidation expected by Q3, does the company anticipate any material losses or marginal impact? And how is it managing the risk? Because there might be some further price fluctuations or something.
Yes. There could be some losses on dead stock, and also when liquidating the stock, there could be some stress sale. We're trying to manage it as best as possible to our abilities.
Okay. So can you quantify any number right now? Is it possible?
No, I don't. I it will not be possible for me at this stage.
No problem.
We're currently in the process.
Okay. Now, wanted to understand what is the maize price in this in the quarter which has gone and the last 45 days which of this quarter.
I'd say it's tough to say because there are always some forward contracts that we do. So on an average, I think the maize price last quarter would have been around 24-25 rupees. And this quarter, it's around 23 to 24 and a half rupees.
23 and a half. So, I mean, I remember from the last con calls that for every 1 rupee in drop in maize price, our margins increased to almost 4 to 5 rupees a liter.
No, I think I've always mentioned around 2.5 to 2.6 rupees.
Sorry, 2.5 to 2 point, yeah. So that so now since that has dropped, can we see that Q2 will be much better than the Q1 results also? Because in terms of
Q2, I think will be better than Q1 when our margins are concerned. Also because of the maize oil extraction plant now being started, but we've seen some correction in the DDGS prices in the past couple of months. Now they're starting to increase again. So I think margins will improve in Q2. By how much is tough to say as of today.
Okay. And just wanted to understand how has been the government outlook? Because their policy on the biodiesel has been very fluctuating. But the policy on ethanol and has been the same? Or are you seeing a push from the government, the same kind of push from the government which used to be?
So we've seen immense encouragement from the government in the past few years where ethanol is concerned. And I think it was rightfully done so. You see, the farmers' income has significantly increased. Crop diversification is happening. So all those, objectives of the government are slowly being achieved. And the government has always been supportive of the sector. And we hope for the same moving forward as well.
Okay. So assuming that biodiesel, there's no clarity of policy, still the kind of the maize oil extraction plant which we are planning at our Goel distillery, will that have enough buyers?
Yes, maize oil, could be. There are many industrial uses of this oil, and it can go into animal feed industry, so we're not very concerned about the buyer.
Okay. And just a question, last question on the property and the land which we have. Since now edible oil, most of it will be cleared, when do we expect that, we will be realizing the potential huge land bank which we have and get how will we get the revenues and reduce the debt?
See, first, we are very focused on liquidating our stock. Currently, the factory is not only just full with the edible oil stock, but it's also, we're stocking up a lot of maize for our distillery. We had run out of space as we had done a lot of buying during the harvest season. So first, our focus is in lifting up all of the stock and freeing the land, and then we'll focus on the next step.
Okay. Because you recently shifted your corporate office also.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Dipesh. May I please request you to follow up?
Sure. Sure. I'll follow back in line. No problem. All the very best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kushal. I think this quarter we have some uptick in the volumes of distillery. So is there any particular reason and going forward we can maintain the same volumes?
No, volumes by plant were running on full capacity, so that's the primary reason.
Okay, fine. So when it comes to increasing edible oil business and adding this 75 KLPD of biodiesel plant and the 150 KLPD of Bathinda, so we're expecting around 700 crores from this additional capacity. So the margin would be around 10%. And we'll lose the edible oil revenue as an average of 1,000 crores per annum, right?
I didn't understand the last part of the question.
No, edible oil revenue will lose at the rate
sorry,
of 1,000 crores per annum.
Your voice is quite muffled.
Yes. So I'm asking that. I'm using handset only. Yeah. I'm asking that. So we'll lose the edible oil revenue of 1,000 crores, right?
See, we'll lose. Yes, of course, some portion of the edible oil revenue would be lost. But as I already mentioned, we're continuing with the soft oil refining for reasons mentioned earlier. And that could give us some revenue. It will be significantly lower than, the 900 odd crores that we used to do from this business. But we're making up for that lost revenue by higher margin businesses in terms of 150 KLPD distillery and also the oil extraction and biodiesel plant.
Regarding the oil extraction, where does it plan? Suppose if the government policy is not there, but if we are continuing with the only maize oil extraction only, even at Bathinda and Kharagpur, so what would be the revenue potential of this 75 KLPD maize oil extraction?
No, see, oil extraction can be continued. It can be sold in the market as it is, the maize oil. So we're not very worried about that. We haven't started any work at the biodiesel facility in Kharagpur. Only in Bathinda we have, established one. So until there's a long-term policy for biodiesel from the government, we will not establish a biodiesel plant in Kharagpur.
Yeah, I understand. So regarding that only, so if we are continuing with the maize oil extraction only, what is the revenue potential at Bathinda from the team?
The revenue potential.
Yes.
That depends on the price. Currently, it's around 85 rupees. So, see, the revenue increase will not be there as much because, the revenue we are gaining from the edible oil, from the maize oil being extracted, some of that is being lost in that DDGS value going down. But it's a higher margin business. So I think we should look at the margins and not just the revenue from the maize oil extraction business.
Okay, understood. Lastly, on the gold display, so what is the update on that one? So when we can have that 250 KLPD on stream, and what is the CapEx plan for this?
See, for now the company is planning on commissioning the 150 KLPD unit at Bathinda first, which we're hoping to do by December of this year, and next year to begin work at gold distillery.
Okay. So for this year, we can have 150 KLPD, that is Q3, and the 75 KLPD will most probably come in this quarter itself. Right, other than that, there is no further capacity.
Sure.
Cool. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm telling that 75 KLPD in this quarter will come, and 150 KLPD backend will come in Q3. So that is the additional capacity we're planning for this year, right?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, sir. And sorry, lastly, on the one part, so I think that the realization of ethanol is dropped. So we would have used the SCA rice also for producing ethanol. So what is the breakup between maize and SCA rice? How much we would have used? How much percentage of ethanol was derived from SCA rice? Could you please quantify that?
See, maize, SCA rice's prices have increased by 2.5 rupees per kg from what we previously used to work on. So that is the reason for, you know, the decrease in realization. And I'd say about 30 to 35% of our capacity was based out of FCI rice. The rest was either DFG or maize.
Okay. So going forward also, we'll maintain a similar ratio of the raw material. And DFG, I think there is some changes in policy. So is it anything beneficial to us? I think government has reduced the content to be maintained for FCI. Is there any benefit from that?
I think it's a policy that is, I think that will be a positive in terms of raw material availability. But let's see how it is executed and whether that is pan-India or region-wise. So we're waiting on that.
Okay, that's all from us. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Sir, my first question I have is, sir, what has led to the realization dip, sir? Like, would there be any kind of dip in terms of realization and margin?
No, I don't think there was any dip in the margins. I'm not sure what is being mentioned here. Our EBITDA margins have for our distillery business has more or less been consistent with even our corresponding quarter and even our previous quarter. So I don't know where the dip is.
Okay. Because there was 80 bips of decrease in margin contraction. I just wanted to know, is it because of an increase of other expenses or the gross margin
has fallen down? I mean, FCI prices have increased by 2.5 rupees, and half a percent here or 80 bips here and there, I don't think that's too significant. We have given consistent margins on the business in the past, and we're continuing to do so.
Okay. So going forward in your... Yes, sir.
And yeah, so if you were to look at our EBITDA margin this quarter for BCL only, it was at 10.07, whereas for previous quarter, it was at 10.5. So that's a 43 basis point decrease. And if you were to compare that to the corresponding quarter, that is a decrease of, wait, just a second, 36 basis points. So, I mean... 36 basis points or 45 basis points here and there, I don't think that's too big of a deal.
Okay. Got it, sir. And secondly, sir, going forward, do you see the realization in the distillery business, the ethanol, would it remain same, or do you see, expect any increase in going forward?
See, we expect it to increase, yes, with our maize oil extraction business kicking in properly, and also our hopefully the biodiesel business performing from, I think, hopefully next year onwards, from November when the new tender is expected. So that should definitely help the margins of our business. See, earlier we used to extract this maize oil in two other facilities, so there was a lot of freight involved, a lot of steam and power costs, and all of that was involved. Now our overheads, our power costs and everything have been significantly decreased with this facility starting in our Sangatt unit and later this year, hopefully in our Kharagpur unit as well. So that should also bring in a big positive for our margins.
Okay, sir. So going forward, for ethanol, you are looking to maintain between 9.5% to 10% EBITDA, or is it even more due to operational efficiency?
See, we are hoping margins to improve, certainly. But with the incoming of FCI rice, the market has stabilized. And I think it's a big positive that, you know, the market has stabilized around this EBITDA margins. So I honestly don't see a significant increase in the EBITDA margins from the distillery business. I think there could be a stabilization period as opposed to what we saw earlier when there were huge fluctuations.
Yes, sir. Got it, sir. So regarding grain processing business, are we looking any sort of margin improvement through any operational efficiency or anything?
What is the grain processing business by that you mean? I'm sorry?
Sorry,
we can't hear you.
Sorry, sir. Regarding this real estate business,
regarding real estate, what do you mean to
Sir, like, would it the revenue be remaining the same or would it increase, sir, like real estate?
We don't have that much inventory left in real estate. So, revenues would be quite minimal moving forward.
Okay, so finally, sir, like, do you see any competitive pressure or any sort of things, oversupply kind of issue in the market?
See, with ethanol is concerned, yes, there has been a huge expansion that has taken place in the past couple of years. Unprecedented competition has come. That is, there's no denying on that. But a lot of these units that have come are, you know, of smaller capacity. They don't have the flexibility. Most, I'd say 95% of the units now don't have the flexibility between ENA and ethanol. So that also is a big differentiator. I think, yes, there is competitive pressure. Definitely there is. But in our opinion, units that have scale, units that continue to innovate, units that keep a check on their costs, and they will continue to do well. So that's why BCL, keeping in mind that this competition is coming, we had our paddy straw based boiler installed and commissioned 2 years ago. So the order was given 3 years ago. We're doing another paddy straw based boiler. Keeping this competition in mind, I think we are the pioneers now in the country. I can confidently say when it comes to maize oil extraction, a lot of our peers are now looking to see how it's being done and copy us. Looking at this competition in line, we, you know, thought of biodiesel and setting up our refinery there. So BCL will continue to innovate and, try to remain ahead of its competition when it comes to procurement efficiency and producing efficiency and achieving scale on our units. So, yes, I think this will work to our benefit moving forward as well.
Okay, sir. So, thank you, sir. Thanks for very good.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Kale, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, Krishna, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Thank you.
Sir, a couple of questions. The expansion that we are doing with the 150 KLPD expansion and the Goel distillery expansion. What do you expect would be our capacity utilization when these plants are fully operational?
See, any expansion that we go for, we aim for 100% capacity utilization. and we'll continue to aim for that moving forward as well. And I'm quite confident of achieving 100% capacity utilization.
So, 150 KLPD would be live by Q 2027 Jan, or
no? We are targeting to finish it by year end.
Okay.
So in December of this year.
Goel Distillery
will have a start date of early next year, so I cannot give you a completion date as of today. I think once we've started work on site, I'd give you more clarity on that. So, but
okay.
Approximately 18 months from the start date.
Right. And sir, we are halfway into Q2. So when do you expect our biodiesel plant, the 75 KLPD biodiesel plant, to start?
The biodiesel plant, we have done the trials and we're quite confident of a successful commissioning. The current issue is that there is no new tender from the OMCs to procure biodiesel. So before the tender, we have to first register ourselves to be a participant in these tenders. And the last time the registration was opened, the company did not have a consent to operate, so we were not able to register ourselves. Now we have all the necessary permissions in hand. So once the new tender has been released, we will participate in that.
Okay. Michelle, sir, one more question regarding the pricing of ethanol. See, I mean, as you have seen, the price of maize-based or grain-based ethanol has not changed. Government hasn't changed that. And, the news, if it is to be believed, currently the petrol prices, which is not mixed with ethanol, right? It is at a lower price than actually the ethanol, right? So, do you foresee a scenario wherein the government takes, or the oil companies are forced to take a stance wherein they are actually not procuring ethanol as much and because of the price arbitrage? Do you see where I'm going with this? Do you foresee a scenario?
No, I don't foresee such a scenario. Because if that scenario is concerned, then ethanol blending should go up when prices have hit $100 a barrel. This is not just a policy for the OMCs to be more profitable, the ethanol policy. The ethanol policy is serving a lot of purposes. One, you have to understand that India has now become a grain surplus country. And there is no use for this grain. You know, we're producing much more rice than we have 36 million tons of surplus rice. The government doesn't know what to do with it. We're producing all sugar we are surplus in. So how do you best utilize this production and ensure that the farmer is being paid in a timely manner at a good price for their crop? So you have to ensure that industrial demand is created for this crop. And I think that is one of the biggest reasons why ethanol policy was brought into the country. And it's starting to show. Maize prices that were at 11, 12 rupees a kg are now easily at 24, 25 rupees a kg. The farmer has earned. There's a lot of crop diversification that has happened towards maize, especially in areas where water treble was already low. Maize is a crop that requires significantly lower water as opposed to paddy. It is also a policy for India's energy independence. I give you an example. During COVID, when the prices of edible oil prices crashed significantly, countries like Malaysia and Indonesia, which were big exporters of these edible oils, you know, instead of decreasing their biodiesel mandate, they increased it at a time like that, because they had to ensure that their farmers produce, get sold at a good price, and their farmers are not stressed in a difficult time. Similarly, I believe in India, regardless of the petrol prices, the ethanol policy is a long-term policy and not just made so that the OMCs earn more profit.
Right. And my reason for asking that question was because you are very closely working with the government. What sense where you getting and your answer kind of explains that part. One last question, if I may squeeze in, please.
Sure.
Regarding biodiesel, right? There is some teething problem, like we had with ethanol when the blending was just getting started, or it was at a very nascent stage. Have you got a sense of what those teething problems are with biodiesel, and is there anything that we have planned or thought ahead to stay ahead of the game and not have those problems for us?
See, biodiesel policy has been a little up and down, I think, in the recent past. But I think over time there will be a sustainable and long-term policy that will come in this sector as well, as the government is looking for to promote biofuels in all variations, whether that's bio-CNG, biodiesel, and ethanol. So I think over time a good policy will come. We are quite confident of that. In the meantime, as I had already explained, we had ensured that that facility, a part of that facility, can also be used for soft oil refining, which will be supplied to our institutional consumers, so that the established facility does not remain idle.
So, sir, if say for example my maize oil extraction plant runs at full capacity, I don't have a tender for biodiesel, right? Will I be able to recover the cost that I incur, and would I still stay positive in terms of margin if we only operate the maize oil extraction plant?
We only operate the maize oil extraction plant, I think it's still a profitable venture, because the value addition given from the maize oil extraction surpasses the value loss in DDGS price.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Kunteta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. My first question is that you said that around 100 crore stock left in edible oil. So in the last quarter, you did almost 300 crore business. So is this 100 crore left after you have already, maybe you have already done some business in this Q2 itself? So how much business you have already done
for payment?
I don't have the exact numbers of this quarter and for quarter two, and I don't wish to share any exact numbers from quarter two at this given stage, please.
Okay. And right now there is so much noise on the social media, especially regarding the E20 petrol. Many people complaining the reduced efficiency of the vehicles, and they are. It may create some pressure on the government to reduce the blending. So what if the government, reduce the blending from E20 to E15 or maybe E10? So can company handle the situation when the demand reduced?
No, I don't see such a thing happening. Honestly, I don't spend time thinking on what ifs and what. Aise to kuch bhi ho sakta hai. ऐसे तो कल बाढ़ आ सकती है, कल ये हो सकता है. सो दी एथेनॉल पॉलिसी इज अ लॉन्ग टर्म पॉलिसी, एंड वेन एवर समथिंग न्यू इज बीइंग डन, इट विल ऑलवेज फेस पॉजिटिव रिस्पॉन्सेज एंड नेगेटिव रिस्पॉन्सेज. सो यस, देर इज सम नेगेटिव फीडबैक ऑन दी ब्लेंडिंग पॉलिसी, बट आई डोंट थिंक इट्स अ पॉलिसी दैट दैट द गवर्नमेंट विल बैक फ्रॉम. I give you an example. When Bartha Dam was first built, there was, a backlash from the public that, aapne to pani se bijli nikal di, ab kya hoega isme? Pani mein to kuch bacha hi nahi. So, aise to har cheez ki
negative. That was old times, actually.
No, but anything.
Okay. All minister just said that the ethanol is pricier than petrol. But the government is continuously increasing the MSP of the grain.
Sorry to interrupt you.
So
please request you to rejoin the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Co. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar sir. Can you provide me how are the prices for ENA being for the state and the average realization for the country for the last quarter? And how are the prices? Yes, sir.
ENA prices have been stable around 66 to 67 rupees a liter, I think, in most of the states across the nation.
Okay. And post the June exit, how have the prices trending been? Generally, do we have any seasonality effect for the ensuing quarter or?
They have been mostly stable. They have been mostly stable.
Prices have remained stable currently.
Yeah.
Correct, sir. And sir, currently for the our ethanol price realization, what are we realizing in terms of the per liter value for ethanol as the contracted value?
So around the 6 to 7 rupees a liter.
Sir, this is the margin you are mentioning.
Yes.
Okay. What is the realizable value, sir? At what price are we realizing the ethanol sales?
See, maize is being supplied at 71 rupees, I think 86 paisa. DFG is around 64 rupees, and I think surplus food grain is around 58-50.
Right. And sir, you were mentioning about the tendering from the OMCs currently. So I think so they come up with their program for a longer period of time. So for us, how much have we locked ourselves with the capacity for how many years for the contracted value and in number of liters?
No, this is a yearly basis. That was so we participate in the tender on a yearly basis. So what you were referring to was an LTOA that was bought for some units. Since we have ENA plants as well, we did not participate in the LTOA. So we bid for our quantity on a yearly basis.
Okay. So what are LTOs, sir? I am not aware.
LTOA was long-term offtake agreement, which was done with some units. But even if a unit was of 200 KLPD capacity, the LTO was only done for about 50% to 60% of their capacity. So
as of now, when is the renewal due, sorry, sir? As of now, when is the new contract that due?
The fresh tender is expected in October of this year, which will be from November of and the so the event goes from November 1st until October 31st.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, I'd like to thank you on updating us with the pictures of the biodiesel plant on the website of the company. And my first question is with respect to the acquisition of Pioneer Industries. What is the status and do you plan it to make a subsidiary?
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for the question. See, Pioneer Industries is a company where the promoters of BCL have held equity since 2005. This used to be earlier at 50%, and we had sold 25% of our stake to our partner, who increased their equity from 50 to 75 in, I think it was during 2020 of COVID. It was during COVID. I don't remember the exact dates. That was to fund our unit at Suksha Distillery because we required capital to set up Suksha Distillery. So that's when we decided that the promoters will sell 25% of their stake in Pioneer. So Pioneer, even if BCL acquires the entire shareholding from the promoters of BCL, will only be considered as an associate company and not a subsidiary. Anything, I think, below 50% is associate and above 50% is a
right.
subsidiary. So
right.
Even if we were to increase our stake to 25% BCL stake, it will remain as an associate company.
But still, the profits will reflect in the books. So do you plan to do that?
Not as of yet. Maybe in the future, yes, but not in the short term.
Okay, because the company does really well, like the 500, 600 crore of revenue, it will only add on our the value in our books. So, no plans?
Not in the short term, but of course, this move to bring our shareholding where it is was done that, in a long term thinking.
Okay, understood. My second question. Since you already have your own own IMIL, so do you plan to enter into the IMFL business, like by launching one brand, so that you have a good hold in the business, like because the market
yes,
is not giving you a premium, because since you're dealing in the IMFL IMIL business. So once you enter the IMIL, I guess you will start receiving the premium valuations. So even if it is a one brand, it will add on the value to the BCL's business. So
yes, next year we're exploring the possibility of entering the IMFL market in April of 2026. And if not in April 2026, we're exploring then, you know, either mid of 2026 or next of 2027, April 2027, we will be entering the IMFL market. We just want to ensure that when we enter the IMFL market, we do it with thorough research done beforehand with the right product and right product placement, and also to have, you know, reserved cash that can be spent in proper marketing and launching of the product. So we want to ensure that everything is in order before we enter the IMFL market.
Perfect. So you are going to launch one brand by in 2026. So that's for sure.
We are working towards that. One or two brands.
Perfect. Perfect. And lastly, what is the current debt?
I think the total debt, including our subsidiary.
Yeah. Everything consolidated.
Consolidated. Would be I think around 450 crores.
It has reduced.
Yeah, we had reduced by we had to surrender 90 crores of working capital in BCL.
Right, I remember. Yes.
So I think it's around 450, 470 crores.
So this will come down to 350 in the next 6-8 months.
No, that has already been done.
That has already been, so it won't reduce further.
Mm.
Okay, that's it from the head. Thank you, and looking forward
Thank
for
you.
The IMFL business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sarath, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Kushalji. Hope I'm audible.
Good afternoon, yes.
Sir, my question is on the margin, sir. Please, and we were procuring maize in the range of, you know, 27 to 28. I'm talking about the average. We procured in Q3 27 to 28. That time our EBITDA was 43 crores. I'm talking about the distillery margins. 43 crores was our EBITDA. And now, in Q1, you said, you know, your average is about, you know, 24 to 24.5. So there is a clear drop of rupees 3 in maize price, but that's not reflecting in the EBITDA at all. So what am I missing,
see,
actually, you know, the EBITDA should
yes.
have been in the range of 70 crores.
So there are two reasons for this. One being, you know, the FCI rice ethanol that's now being supplied. The FCI rice prices earlier used to be at 22 rupees. Now they're at 22.5. But, you know, we participate in the FCI rice policy, despite the low margins that it gives, to ensure that the other raw material prices stabilize. Because that decreases our reliance on maize that we procure from the open market. And see, whenever I give an average, we always have some forward contracts here and there. Maybe we had some 27 rupee contract that we were fulfilling still. So that is also one of the reasons that, the price drop is averaged out. And thirdly, since it was peak summer season, what we always see in the summers is that the DDGS demand significantly decreases as, poultry and cattle demand, feed demand goes down. So there was a correction in the DDGS prices. And beginning August, we're seeing that DDGS prices have started to improve again. So that will also help.
Okay, sir. And so what was the DDGS price in Q1? Was that in the 12-13 range or, it went to, 10, 11, 12, or 15?
I think in our maybe Bengal unit, it was around 12 rupees, and similarly at Bathinda as well.
Okay, so you're saying it's not much of a drop, because, in the previous quarter also, and prior to that also, in Q3 also, it was ranging in the 12-13 rupee range.
No, I don't think. I think this has usually been around 14 rupees. Currently also it's around 14-15 rupees.
Okay, so but still the numbers are not, adding up, sir. How much of spirit would have come from maize in this quarter, 4 crore liters?
I'm sorry?
You said, some 30% of the production is from FCI and, DFG rice. I'm assuming that, still 4 crore liters is coming from maize.
Sure.
In Q1, a total of 6.34 crore liters of spirit was produced and sold, and out of that, 4 crore liters would have come from maize.
Yes.
So even if I take, 4 crore liters, where is the margin increase, sir? Where is the EBITDA increase? Help me understand, I'm doing my,
No, I think I've
kind of a calculation.
I think I've given the answer to the best of my capability. I don't see what more I can say. DDGS prices decreased. We had to supply some ethanol under FCI rice, which reduces the margins. And of course, when prices go down for any grain, it takes a while for that to impact your stock because there's always some forward contract that you have to adhere to. So I will stick to that answer.
Sir, Kushalji, please help me understand, because you were, whenever we got, we have asked for the prices, you were giving your average price, landed price to the BCM. So in Q3, you gave your number as 2750.
See, when I give a price, I say what is the current market price. When I give an average of the last quarter, when I said 24, 24.5, that was the average market price that was prevailing during these months. I don't give the average exact of our procurement price.
So we were given the impression that, it was the average price.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Narad. May I please request you to
Yes, sir.
rejoin the queue?
Yes, sir. It is only one question, sir. The discussion is happening around that only. Please help me finish, it's not going to take a minute.
I think I've already answered the question to the best of my capability. I don't see what else I can say.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask any questions, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. We have our next question from the line of Vikas Kundeta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
My question is regarding your stock performance, because the company is doing so much well. The EBITDA margin is well above the industry EBITDA margin, but still the company fails to, please investors, especially FIs and FCI. They are continually exiting the business, company. So how do you think, about this?
I don't know if I can comment on this. I think as a management of the company, we try our level best to give the best possible results and continue to grow. I think we have done that in the past years, and we will continue to do so. So, we're also working more so towards our corporate governance by, opening up our corporate office in Chandigarh and being more professional in our workings. So I think all I can do and all we can do as a management is to grow sustainably and try to give the best value for our shareholders. The rest I cannot really comment much upon.
Okay. So from the last quarter, you have CEO in your company. So how, they are helping, in the business?
See, Mr. Varun Gupta comes from a professional background and, it's a new industry for the CEO, and he will take a few months learning about our workings and, of course, making the company more efficient and more professional and more system-driven.
Okay, and do you expect any price hike in ethanol, after the MSP hike,
I don't know, actually. I hope for it, but I don't know.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to take questions from all participants in the conference, please restrict yourself to only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Rushin Hipara from Scoop Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, am I audible?
Yes, hello.
Yes, sir, I joined the call a bit late, so I apologize if the question is repeated. But the 20% blended target has been hit. So how are you reevaluating the Goyal Distillery acquisition?
Yeah, see, the 20% target has been hit, but I think the government is evaluating maybe increasing the blend or coming up with flex fuel. So demand, we think, will increase in the coming times as well. Moreover, petrol consumption is increasing on a yearly basis. But yes, for the fact that we have this hit the 20% target, as I earlier mentioned as well, that Goyal Distillery work will begin next year only. So we will look at all the variables and only then we will make a decision. But we are quite confident that the demand will increase in the coming times.
But sir, currently the industry is in oversupply, so how would that affect in the short term?
See, yes, I have given, I think, quite a comprehensive answer to this. There has been an increase, much increase in competition when it comes to the ethanol sector. There has been an exponential growth, especially in the last 2 years. But we at BCL have always tried to, keep on innovating and doing better than our peers to help in the toughest of times. We had planned a paddy straw boiler 3 years ago. 2 years ago it was commissioned. No one was thinking on that line. Then maize oil extraction, I think I can confidently say we are the pioneers in this business. Setting up a biodiesel unit, no one is working around that. So I think the future belongs to those who have scale, who can continue to innovate and who are efficient in their procurement and production. For them, future will be good. For a lot of the smaller units, I think there could be some difficulties.
Okay, sir, just one last question. So would it be a possibility that you would try to increase your ENA and alcohol sales to compensate for the competition in ethanol?
No, ENA sales are increasing organically. I think in ENA is a sector that will continue to perform well.
So would you be increasing the revenue contribution of ENA alcohol, or would it go with as it is?
No, ENA sales, will continue to improve. And I had mentioned earlier as well that we're exploring entry into IMSL.
So that should also help. And our IMIL business is also doing well. So if we see significant growth from that to continue, then some ENA will be consumed for our own bottling and increased ENA. So I think we're quite confident with the ENA business.
Sir, for IMFL, would you be open to for partnering with other established brands?
May please request you to rejoin the queue.
So I'll just answer that regardless. We're not actively looking for a bottling tie-up. We're more interested in launching our own product.
Thank you, sir. That answers all of my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Harish Podar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. I am audible to you?
Good afternoon, yes.
Sir, I just want to continue on the answer of previous question. You said that there was a significant price drop in the maize from around 28 to 24.5, but we are not able to see the impact in the margin of that because of some forward contracts. So do you expect that will reflect into the this quarter result? I mean, into next result?
See, margins will improve, but there will not be an exponential improvement in the margin because it is a commodity at the end of the day. DDGS prices are always fluctuating. There's a fuel price that plays a major impact in our production costs. That depends on the availability and can go up and down. So just looking at the maize price and saying, margins should increase by this much per liter, and if it's not being done so, then there's something wrong, I think is an incorrect statement that was trying to be implied earlier. And DDGS is there. And as I also mentioned that, FCI rice prices have increased from 20 rupees to 22.5 rupees, whereas there has been no increase in the ethanol price from FCI rice. But we have to participate in the FCI rice policy so that, the other raw material prices continue to stay stable and there's not an exponential jump on that front. So regardless of that, I think our company has always strived to give the best possible margins and results, and we'll continue to do that.
Okay, got your point, sir. But my point was that major impact of the cost is the maize cost. That is, if it is reduced by 3 or 4 rupees in last 1 or 2 quarters, so I don't think so all the benefit will be absorbed by the only FCI. That is a very limited utilization in your unit and the oil and other cost materials.
No, FCI rice is 30 to 35% of our production. It is quite significant.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Got it. And my last question is that, as other investors also
raised, Mr. Harish, may you please request you to rejoin the queue?
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Shiv Bhagwan from KNCS and Co. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes.
I have one suggestion, Mr. Mittal. Why don't you bring your CFO in Concord so that numbers can be categorically told by him?
Okay, and sure, next.
Yeah, it is better because CFO will be probably conversant with numbers. He should have all those things in fingertips. And now my question is, what is the rationale behind promoter selling Premier State to BCL?
Premier State? I'm not sure.
No, that's you are privately shareholding. You have sold to BCL, last quarter.
Pioneer.
Pioneer.
Pioneer, Pioneer. Sorry, Premier name, Pioneer. What
Pioneer
is the rationale
is
behind
company.
That?
Pioneer is a great company, and you know we want to consolidate. The promoter wants to consolidate, you know, their assets also, and it's I think good synergy for both Pioneer and BCL. So BCL holding Pioneer's equity, and if that goes up to 25%, then Pioneer becomes BCL's associate company. So that's also very much beneficial for BCL. So, and there could always be synergy between the two companies. So for that reason, we decided to go with this.
Let me give you my honest feedback on this transaction. Investors' feeling is that since cash is available in BCL books, promoter had just parked their stake in Pioneer Industries in BCL and taken that cash.
I think I've also gotten the feedback from some investors that the evaluation done for Pioneer was quite low, and that it would be very much beneficial for BCL that such a transaction was done. So I think they're both sides to the same coin.
That's fair enough, but I'm really on the I still cannot see, unless you make Pioneer subsidiary of BCL, that's it makes sense. You are selling all those stakes to BCL and making Pioneer as subsidiary of BCL.
As earlier mentioned, Pioneer can only be considered as an associate company even if all the shareholding is transferred from the promoter to the to BCL and not a subsidiary.
Hey, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. And secondly, if you could have utilized this cash which you have received from BCL to increase promoter stake in BCL, could have given a positive response from investors.
Okay.
Whether that you thought of or no.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May I please request you to rejoin the queue?
I have already asked my question. I am waiting for answer.
No, promoter has already bought stake in the past, and I'd say even if you look at COVID, the promoters funded a lot of funds in the company, and that has been done twice and thrice since then. So as I had earlier mentioned, promoters used to hold 50% stake in Pioneer. They had sold 25% of their stake during the time of COVID so that they could ensure that Swaksha Distillery was set up, and they had infused funds in the company even at that time. So the promoters continue we as promoters didn't take dividends for, I think, 3 years and have only put in money in the company. And to make a statement and say that the promoters have taken cash from the company, I think that is incorrect. We have received a lot of positive remarks on the acquisition of Pioneer shares by BCL. And I don't have any further comments, to be honest.
Thank you. Thank you. Next time onwards, I hope that CFO will also join the con call.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please restrict yourself to only one question per participant. I repeat, please restrict yourself to only one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Propriety Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi. Yeah. We have started this corn extraction. Could you please tell me what is the percentage of oil which we get from the DDGS?
I don't wish to disclose that, to be honest, because a lot of our competitors are trying to copy us, and I don't want to give such information in public.
But Kushal, this is not a confidential information. Oil extraction, this is a procedural matter. I mean, it could be 1% this side, that side. I mean, anybody can get it from the supplier also. But since I am a shareholder, I am asking you. I mean, it's not something that your computer will get to know how much you are oil you are extracting. Already so many computers are doing it. Globus is doing it. So as a genuine shareholder, I'm asking you.
Globus is, there is a different way of oil extraction they are doing. That is being done through a centrifuge or a decanter.
We're extracting oil in a different way.
Agree. I'm not telling either.
We're extracting all the oil that is available in the maize. That's all I can say.
Okay. And what is, can you give me the, what is the present price of oil?
Yes, around 90 to 95 rupees.
Per kg?
Yes.
Because you can always give me a rough figure. I'm not asking you.
You give... May I please request you to rejoin the queue?
Oh.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bhavesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
A quick follow-up, sir. Sir, do you expect revenue to go up in Q2? Since you said that Q2 will be better than Q1, so...
No, I don't expect revenue increase. I expect revenue will remain the same, or maybe some reduction in the revenue when it comes, but overall margins, I said, should improve.
Should improve. Okay. And secondly, how do you plan to fund the gold industry setup? So is it the full debt or a combination of debt and equity?
Of course, it will be a combination of both. But we haven't finalized on a ratio as of yet.
Okay, that's it so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harish Podar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for giving me second chance. So I have one question. As there is an issue regarding the demand of ethanol, so do you have a plan to move the plants on ENA? More capacity towards the ENA? Apart from your existing 400 capacity?
No, even currently our entire 400 capacity is not being utilized fully to make ENA. About 100 KL approx is utilized. So there is still room for growth given our current infrastructure and the licenses to grow in the ENA business. So the ethanol businesses, the ethanol facilities that have been set up cannot be converted into ENA businesses because the licenses and everything, even the environmental clearances, are all completely separate. So a shift there cannot be made.
Even in future, it's not possible to get the additional approvals on these plants.
In the worst case,
if there is a problem with ethanol, so we will be able to move on ENA. So it's not possible.
No, it is, a shift is not possible. All permissions are different. And I think that's a positive sign because all units that have been set up, most of them, they are ethanol dedicated units. So they cannot shift towards ENA.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this would be the last question for today. And on behalf of BCL Industries Limited and Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.